Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In this corner, from Reading, Pennsylvania, he's smart, sassy, and definitely not a jinx.
Something's afoot. That's all I'm saying.
It's Matt Steinmetz.
Yeah!
And in this corner, straight out of the Yoon.
I need meat on my bone.
He's a certified stud and definitely isn't still rocking a 92 caddy. It's Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
Now, it's time for Steinmetz and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Good morning, everybody. Matt Steinmetz along with John Dickinson this morning. John Dickinson filling in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. And we're hoping Daryl is having a great day at one of his children's graduation ceremonies. So have fun today, Goo. JD, I don't know if I should say what, straight out of Sac, Roseville, or Folsom?
Carmichael.
Straight out of Carmichael, John
Rosemont.
Dickinson. Gotcha. hey, we're still coming off an emotional Game 5 win for the Golden State Warriors. Game 6 tomorrow, Oracle Arena, the definitive last Golden State Warriors game there. Should be an incredible atmosphere. It'll be an opportunity for the Warriors to push this thing to 7 after being down 3-1. And here's my question. Who's better, the Warriors or the Raptors, when Kevin Durant doesn't play? Are the Warriors better than the Raptors without Durant, or are the Raptors better than the Warriors without Durant? I think we can all agree with Durant, the Warriors have more talent. But what about the two teams that are going to play tonight? Who's better? Who's the better team, JD? Oh, I'm sorry, tomorrow night. Yeah, you know,
I
know.
Let me tell you, as somebody that walked in the door last night coming back from Toronto at 12:30, that extra day is critical.
Yeah, I could see that.
Travel day, practice day, game day, it's critical. I think based on what we've seen in this series, the Raptors are the better team if you take Kevin Durant out of the equation. The first four games, plus even a good portion of Game 5 after Durant went down. And I think other than that stretch of Game 2 where the Raptors went cold and the Warriors had that massive run which flipped that game and ultimately allowed them to win it, I think the Raptors have shown they're the better team. I really do. Now, does that mean the Warriors can't win the final two games of the series and take it 4-3? No, because they're the Golden State Warriors, and they've got the champion's blood and all of that going,
right,
and still have Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. But, no, I think the evidence says that the Raptors are the better team if you take Kevin Durant out of the equation.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not asking you to tell me if you believe in intangibles, but and I want to get the feeling from fans out there too. To me, the Warriors are down 3-1. Durant comes back, they win Game 5, he gets hurt, and now we go to Game 6 and 7. The way I'm looking at it, JD, is all right, Game 6 tonight, or Game 6 tomorrow, Warriors don't have Durant. That's going to be a tough game. It feels like, is there any positive? I mean, do you believe in, well, they're going to play for Durant now, or there's something bigger than just the talent level working, or even if it's a psychological component that you think the Warriors may have over the Raptors at this point? I'm just looking at this as a game without anything on the periphery, but I get how people might think, hey, something's going on here with the Warriors, something special's brewing again. How do you feel about all that kind of stuff? Anything to it?
I think their
momentum. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Warriors have the momentum going into Game 6, coming back home, final game at Oracle, playing for Durant, all of the emotion. But I think there's a flip side to that coin as well, which is, you know, the Warriors were already playing well in Game 5 when Durant went down, and they
True.
Deserve a tremendous amount of credit for not letting the initial period right after Durant got hurt wrecked that game. In fact, the Warriors extended the lead after that happened. DeMarcus Cousins came in, played well. The Warriors were knocking down shots, playing great basketball. But so the Warriors get credit for that, but they were playing well in that game. I think it was easier to finish that game in the midst of everything that was going on than it is to ramp up again for another game after having a couple of days to kind of process right. everything that's gone on. So I think some of the momentum from the big Game 5 win is lost with a couple of days off and then having to get it going again tomorrow night. So I think you have the momentum, but you can't just rely on the momentum because right. the Warriors have gotten beat twice in Oracle by this team already. And I know they were shorthanded in Game 3. The Raptors beat them in the regular season without Kawhi Leonard when the Warriors had everybody. I mean, the Raptors they're legit. Yeah. And look, I do think the Warriors with Durant are the better team. I'm just, based on what we've seen in this series, I think it's going to be really tough if there isn't something more going on, you know, with this you. Warriors team. If it's just straight up basketball for basketball, I think you got to favor Toronto.
888-957-9570 is the number. Warriors are going to play tomorrow night without Kevin Durant, and we'll see about Sunday whether they play at all or not at all, whether there is a Game 7. But the question we have is, are the Warriors better than the Raptors if they don't have Durant? And then you look at the next two games. I mean, do you think it's a coin flip right now, the series, or do you have to lean Toronto just because of the numbers?
To me, you lean Toronto.
Right.
They've got Game 7 at home. They've got tomorrow. They've already won twice at Oracle. And again, Durant's not playing. If the Warriors had won Game 5 the way that they won Game 5 and Durant was healthy and you know, had played great
right.
for the duration of that game.
25 and 30 minutes.
And Toronto was up 6 with 3 minutes to go, and then the Warriors somehow find a way to get it. If that's the case, I'd say the Warriors are winning this series for sure.
I hear you there. A couple updates. Kevin Durant, he traveled to New York yesterday to see doctors. That was reported by Shams Charania. Kevon Looney re-aggravated the first costal cartilage, non-displaced fracture injury. But he says he's going to play, I guess, huh, JD?
He said that after the game.
Wow.
On Monday night.
Pretty incredible.
He'll be able to give it a go. So we'll get further updates on that when finals practice takes place over at Oracle. The Warriors are supposed to hit the floor in about 20 minutes, and then they'll be meeting with the media around 12:30.
Game 6. Game 6, Oracle Arena, last game there. And by the way, we're going to be playing Tim Roy's call another few times today, just because I thought it was so phenomenal. Dusting off the old seats at the old barn. By the way, some other news: Kyrie Irving officially opting out. He's not going to opt in for the Boston Celtics, so he is now a free agent. And according to Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, he says that Kevin Durant's last option is to opt in to his contract over the summer, which would be the one-year, $31 million deal with the Warriors. In other words, he thinks it's Durant's last option for him to take another one-year deal with the Warriors like he has in the past.
But it's still a nice option to have in your back pocket.
Right.
I mean, you
right.
know, if you're Kevin Durant, at a minimum, you can take $31 million and rehab your injury with the Warriors. That's your worst-case scenario.
Right, absolutely. And listen, Kevin Durant, he's done for the Warriors this year. His future is up in the air. Will he be a Warrior next year? Those questions, there's some time to answer those questions. So we'll talk a little about Kevin Durant and kind of what his future may be. But really, I'm thinking more about Game 6 tomorrow night and whether the Warriors can quite frankly. I mean, look, if they can win two games, I'll put it this way, JD. Here's the thing that I've thought all year, that the Warriors are either going to win it this year or they're not going to win it this year. But then it's over, I think. The dynasty, I'm not saying the Warriors won't go to the playoffs next year. I just think the dynasty's over. But if they win three games and win this series, it will be the most impressive exclamation point on a run that maybe I can't think of a better one. I mean, could you imagine if the Warriors finish off this 4 titles in 5 years with 3 straight wins? I mean, that would be absolutely unbelievable if the Warriors could do that. And you know what? They're 1/3 of the way there. 888-957-9570 is the number. Are the Warriors better than the Raptors without Durant? Let's go to Anna, find out what's going on 95.7 The Game.
All right, thanks, Danny. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Bay Alarm. We're counting down to the final game at Oracle Arena. Game 6 of the NBA Finals is tomorrow, and the Warriors will try to tie the Raptors in the series. And we are giving away a pair of tickets to that final game in Oakland. So here's how it works. We announce the name of a Warrior player this morning at 7:30. We'll give out an additional Warrior player name today at 11:30 with Steiny and JD. The next name after that at 2:30, then 5:30. Remember all 4 of those names, because tomorrow morning at 7:30 during Joe Lowe and Dibs, you'll need to know all 4 of those names in order to win. The coverage of Game 6 will start tomorrow with Warriors Live at 4:30 here on 95.7 The Game. And no word yet on Kevin Durant's MRI results, so keep it locked on 95.7 The Game for the latest updates. Can this team get it done without Durant? Papa Mbonte will ask ESPN's Michael Wilbon at noon. Then head coach Steve Kerr will join the Damon Bruce Show today at 5. But coming up, are the Warriors a better team than the Raptors, even without KD? Steiny and JD will discuss. I'm Anna Kagaragis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
VanVleet will take it up the floor. VanVleet down to 12 seconds, 10 seconds. Waited for Leonard. Leonard catches it on the logo, steps out. Guarded by Klay Thompson, 6 seconds with 5 seconds. Leonard right side stops. He's VanVleet. VanVleet, one dribble, get the corner. Lowry is blocked by Draymond. The game's over. The game's over. The game is over. The Warriors have won. 106-105. Keep the lights on at Oracle. Dust those seats off. That old barn's got one more dance. My goodness. Stephen Curry, handshakes and hugs all around. What a finish to Game 5 on a stunned Toronto crowd. Can't believe that the Warriors have found a way to win.
What a call. A call that matches the excitement of the game. That's Tim Roy. This segment sponsored by Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Visit Friedman's Appliance magnificent 25,000 square foot showroom and find more at friedmansappliance.com. And the one thing I think about when I'm envisioning Tim's call is I'm watching the game in my own mind again as he's making the call. And the one thing I keep thinking is when he says Klay Thompson on Kawhi, the one thing he didn't mention is here comes Iguodala.
Yep.
Kind of creeping up.
Perfectly timed.
And he made him, it was perfectly timed. He made him kind of go left and essentially give the ball up. And that, so Iguodala was a big part of that last play.
And look, I don't think Kyle Lowry makes that shot, but Draymond Green getting over there to get a piece of it to ensure that it's got no chance of going in was just, I mean, that, from where he was and just knowing where he needed to be able to really contest that shot. I mean, that's an understated, I think, element of the play as well.
No doubt. And I forget when I was talking about
this. Just
making
sure you have enough space to where you don't get beat, but you can get out. I mean, that, you talk about defensive just nuance and feel for the game.
Well, I said this the other day, and it's not a huge stat, but I got to believe the Warriors lead the league in blocked three-point attempts by the opponent. Well, Draymond is maybe the best in the league at it. Sean Livingston gets a lot. Durant gets his piece, gets his fingertips on some shots. So the Warriors have guys who are great at closing out. They really do. Hey, Pappas, what's the name of the instrumental that was under the Tim Roy call? I Love by Jonas Lucas. Joyner Lucas, there you go. We cater to our fans. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's start out. We'll start out with T-Bone on Angel Island. What's up, T-Bone? No T-Bone? All right. I got to do it. Eric in San Ramon. What's up, Eric?
Hey, good morning, Joe.
How gutsy was that win on Monday?
That was one of the gutsiest, grittiest performances I've ever seen from a team. I was so happy to be wrong.
I think they got the Raptors on their heels, Eric. What do you think?
Oh, finally, the Warriors have to overcome a technical foul. Another technical in Green is out. A good sprint or two in Clay and Cousins could be out. Steph is running on fumes. Looney is so hobbled. The Warriors, unfortunately, will lose tomorrow. But I want the fans to cheer for them like if they won the game.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate the call. We've been
I've been paying attention.
You know who Eric is.
I mean, he brings up a lot of valid points. I know he doesn't.
Explain the Draymond thing real quick to everybody.
Well, yeah, Draymond's one technical foul away from a suspension,
which would occur in Game 7 if it happens
tomorrow.
So
he cannot get a technical foul in Game 6. If he gets a technical foul in Game 6, he's suspended for Game 7, if the Warriors obviously win Game 6.
Right, right.
So he knows the number. He's not... He knows the number.
And you know who else knows the number? The three officials who are reffing tomorrow.
It's almost like when a guy gets three fouls in the first half and there's, let's say, 10 minutes to go in the half. I'm always a proponent of leave the guy on the floor, dare the officials to call a fourth. I actually think you get away with a higher level of defense sometimes because officials know that there's three and won't necessarily call the fourth.
Right. Let's go to Charlie in New York. Hey, Charlie, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Charlie, I got to ask you about some of the headlines in the Post and the Daily News. Pretty funny, huh?
Oh, man.
Knicks season ruined after the...
Yes. And what was the other one? Game 5, Knicks lost.
Yeah. Knicks lose game five.
and like, people are going around blaming the Knicks organization for Durant getting hurt. It's like, the minute they expressed an interest in wanting to sign him, you knew something bad was going to happen.
Oh, God. Poor Knicks.
It was terrible. A perfect storybook ending would be the Warriors coming back, winning tomorrow and Game 7, winning one for the Gipper and all that. But the reality of the situation is they're hobbled, they're hurt, they're better than the Raptors without Durant. They won by 1 point, but they scored. They hit 20 pointers at a 47% clip. The Raptors, I forgot what they did, but the Warriors had 36 more points by three.
Yeah.
So are they going to fall back to their, you know, are you going to expect the Warriors to shoot that well? Are you going to expect the Raptors to shoot that poorly? They need a third scoring option, whether it's Cook or Draymond Green to contribute maybe 17, 18 points. Is Boogie, who never plays well in Oakland, is he going to play well tomorrow night because they need him to play well? I'm a Warrior fan. I'm hopeful. You never write them off, but it's a daunting task.
Anyway, yeah, this is...
That's all I got, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate the call. Here's one thing I was thinking. Look, we all know heading into this year the Warriors were trying for a three-peat. They still are trying for a three-peat. And we all know that they came into the season with more talent than anybody else in the NBA. And we all thought pretty much the Warriors are going to win their third title. We just didn't know how. And the reality of the situation is if the Warriors win a title and there's not a lot of drama, it would have been ho-hum. It really would have. And it almost should be ho-hum. But what's happened with the Durant injury, with Looney, with them so banged up, is they may actually find a way, JD, to have this be more satisfying, more gratifying, more euphoric than any of the other three. And nobody could have seen that coming.
It 100% will be. If the Warriors win tomorrow night and win on Sunday and three-peat, I think the celebration will be unlike any of the previous three, and in some ways the most special.
Right. I think you're right. And listen,
the Warriors have found a way to kind of make themselves underdogs.
Yes, they have.
And not that they love that position, because it is going to be a challenging task to win it. But the Warriors, in a lot of people's eyes, I think in the Bay Area,
right?
Yeah, nationally, whatever. I think. Sure. I mean, I agree with Draymond Green. Nationally, I think people are rooting for him to lose. But locally and in that locker room, they're underdogs a little bit right now. They're fighting. They're trying to just scrap and come up with, you know, enough energy and, you know, just enough playmaking, and just it's a last stand.
Yeah, it really is.
Of sorts.
It really is. And, you know, if this is going to be the end of it, the dynasty, I mean, could you imagine 3 wins to close it out? Let's go to Khaled. Khaled's in Clayton. What's up, Khaled?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey.
You know, the question is are the Warriors a better team than the Raptors, correct?
Yes.
So
somebody said it's a dumb – somebody said I'm dumb for asking it. Of course the Raptors are better.
Without Durant.
No.
Right.
I think when you use the word team, the way I think of team is as a collective.
Okay,
I honestly think that as a collective, the Warriors are a better team. Now, right now without Durant, are they deeper than the Warriors? Absolutely. But from a team aspect, I think the Warriors are a better team. And that team atmosphere, that team collective showed up big time in that Game 5 win. And, you know, they should have been gone. You know, they played against the Trailblazers without Durant, and they were 4 game sweep better than the Trailblazers. They played against the Rockets for a game and a half without Durant, and they were able to pull that off. And to sit there and say, you know, the dynasty is going to be over after this year, it depends on what definition you use for dynasty, because if you look at the Patriots have been a 17-year dynasty, in my opinion, because in between the times that they haven't made the Super Bowl and won, they've been consistently in the playoffs and getting deep, you know, towards it. They may have missed the playoffs maybe one time, but to sit there and say that it was a grouping of maybe 2 dynasties during that time period is silly, and same thing with the Bulls.
Well, what
the Bulls repeated twice.
Yeah, Khaled, I got you. Thanks for the call. I'll see you out there tomorrow, by the way. Yeah, no, I kind of caught myself there. I said, you know, I don't think they're going to win it next year. But you're right. If they don't win it next year, it doesn't mean the dynasty's over. So I'll make that clarification. My main point was that if this is the last championship for a couple years, a few years, then what a way to put the exclamation point on this. But no, you're right. I mean, if Durant leaves, the Warriors could still make it to the Western Conference Finals. Hell, but it's not all around possibility could win it next year. I don't think that's probable, but what I'm saying is, Khaled's right. If the Warriors get to the Western Conference Finals next year and lose, the dynasty technically probably still goes on for a little while. Then it's just going to be up for everybody to debate what a dynasty is. So I get your point there. He did say one thing that I wanted to address, and I will after once I remember
what
it was.
Well, he said he thinks the Warriors are a better team.
Right.
And here's my thing.
I know what I want to say. You know, everybody's saying something that I disagree with. Oh, Toronto's deep. Toronto's the deeper team. Are they? They only go 7 deep. I mean, I guess that's a little deeper than the Warriors, but 7? I mean, the only players you can play off their bench are Ibaka and Van Vliet. Powell hasn't done anything. So, yeah, they may have depth 7 to 5.
Yeah, but their players 4, 5, 6, and 7 can give you more than the Warriors players and have given you more consistently.
Right.
Than the Warriors players have. Really, even 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Oh, you're talking about like Lowry, Green, Gasol.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you want to pick the 3 best Warriors players without Durant, Curry, Thompson, Draymond, and you want to pick the 3 best Raptors players, Leonard, Siakam, and I don't know, you can pick a third.
Right.
The next 4 players to me are a lot better.
Gotcha.
And that's the depth. It's not overall number. They play 10 because the Warriors actually play more guys, especially without Durant. They have to play more guys. But Toronto's 4, 5, 6, 7 players have been a ton better than the Warriors' 4, 5, 6, 7 players over the course of this series.
Right. And, you know, the other thing is even if Toronto's a better team than the Warriors or they have more talent than the Warriors right now, Doesn't mean the Warriors can't win a series. It just means it's going to be really hard. It's going to be really hard. And that's why I say if they somehow get it done, it's going to be the most gratifying of the four titles, I think. And just coming into this year, it was hard to imagine the Warriors winning it this year and it being kind of better than any other ones from the past. But they're in a position to do something that we didn't envision. I mean, yeah, we envisioned a third straight title if they could get it done, but nobody could have envisioned the way it's going to have to happen if it does happen. And that's going to make everything better, quite frankly, if it comes down. Let's go to Dave in Alameda. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing well, man.
JD actually took quite a few of the things I wanted to talk about, but I do want to mention a couple things.
Sure.
First of all, the in-series adjustments that both teams are making, I would have to think the Warriors are making the better in-series adjustments right now. I think it showed in Game 5. They somehow pulled off a way to win that game. And I think Game 6 at home could be considerably better than they played 3 and 4. So that's the one thing I want to say. The other thing I want to say is that once the Warriors, or if the Warriors win Game 6, then it's no longer they need to win 3. It's pretty much survival of the last team to either win or lose that Game 7. So I think the narrative is going to change, and the pressure is going to ramp up on the Raptors in Game 7. That's all.
Oh, I'm with you, Dave. If this goes to Game 7, the Raptors will have the pressure on them. But as I always say, I don't think that's a bad thing. I do not view that as a negative.
Well, and you and I disagree, I think, a little bit on this, and you can jump in. I said this to you when the Raptors went up 3-1 after the game Friday night here at Oracle. To me, the easiest game for the Raptors to, or the hardest game for the Warriors to win, I'll put it from okay. The hardest game for the Warriors to win of the three is Game 5.
Okay.
And I think Game 6 is a little easier to win than Game 5. And I think Game 7 is a little easier to win than Game 6. And I think
you still believe that?
The flip of that is true for Toronto. The game that you, to me, it's the easiest game to get is 5 if you're the Raptors. Hmm. Then I actually, even being out here at Oracle 6, you can play a little bit more freely. Game 7, you're talking about champion's blood. You're talking about, you're talking about experience versus, you know, no experience. And I know the Raptors players individually have experience, and a couple of their guys, the Spurs guys, have played game sevens of the finals. But I think where it does change, though, is Durant being out. If the Warriors had won game five the way that they won game five and Durant was healthy, I would say the Raptors blew it and they had their chance and they needed to win it right then, and they probably are not going to win this series. To me, it's more of a coin flip. And even the Raptors, I would make them the favorite because Durant is out
right.
for the remainder of the series.
Right.
And the Warriors are hobbled. I mean, that's the
no
thing.
Doubt.
The Warriors are hobbled. They're tired. They, you know, they aren't as deep. It all of those things you have to put in the Raptors' favor.
Yeah, and I think, right.
But
and
it doesn't mean they can't win it.
No. When you said before Game 5 that Game 5 is going to be the toughest game for the Raptors to win.
No, for the Warriors to win.
For the Warriors to win. The reason I thought that was the case, and I agreed with it, because I envisioned Durant playing Game 5, then getting healthier as the series wore on. So they took care of Game 1, so now I just think now it's going to be much harder than they thought just because Durant's not there.
And here's the other thing about adjustments. And look, Steve Kerr wasn't going to play DeMarcus Cousins at all.
I know.
So, you know, yeah, you give Steve Kerr credit for adjusting on the fly when Durant goes down and knowing, okay, I need a scorer. But that was almost an emergency decision. Well, I got to play him now.
Right.
I wasn't going to play him at all, but I have no choice but to play
right.
him now. I have no choice but to play McKinney now. I have no choice but to play Jordan Bell now. The Warriors find themselves back in these positions they were in Game 3 and Game 4 where they have to play players that maybe they don't want to play. And I think, can they come through one game out of three? Yes. Can you expect role players to come through three games in a row out of three? That's where, again, you can't count on it. Like, you can't count on Cousins to play as well as he did in Game 5.
Right.
Just like after Game 2, you couldn't count on Cousins to play as well as he did in Game 2 in Game 3 and Game 4, and he didn't. And in fact, he played so poorly that Steve Kerr wasn't even going to play him a single minute in Game 5 until Kevin Durant got hurt. Here's the other rat on the table, as I steal from Guru as I sit in for him. The Warriors made 23-pointers.
I know.
And won by 1 point. They made 23-pointers, the most they've made in the playoffs.
Pretty incredible.
Matt Steinmetz, every one of them.
Matt Steinmetz with John Dickinson today. Daryl the Guru Johnson, apparently he's let the cat out of the bag on his Instagram account. Guru's going to come in and do an hour of today's show and then go, I think it's his daughter, if I'm not mistaken. It is his daughter, to see his daughter's graduation. But he texted in and said that his car broke down on the way into the station. So now he's just trying to get that bad boy Cadillac
the
fixed
caddy?
So he can get up to Sacramento in time. I'm not speaking out of turn because I guess he took a photo of his car on Instagram. So he's okay, though, and he'll be back tomorrow. But JD's sitting in.
And Goof, you need a ride.
I told him.
I'm just saying, you need a ride. I'll roll you.
Well, I told Guru at 7:30, I said, you need to borrow a car.
Yeah.
We had an extra one laying around the house that wasn't going to be used today. Raider Reggie in San Jose. Hey, Raider Reggie, what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? My first time in a while being able to call y'all, and sorry to hear about Guru, man. I'm back in San Jose from Vegas for the same thing. My daughter's graduating today, so I know that feeling.
Awesome.
I know that feeling. But, man, about real quick, and I'm going to try to keep it short on my end. The thing about the Warriors not being better than the Raptors, to me, is the same problem I saw last year, and it got worse this year, and you talked about it, is their depth. And that's the biggest issue. And because of that, that's why, depending on the role guys to come in and play as good every time, it's just unlikely because we don't have the depth there anymore. But the one thing I do love about it is this game reminds me of what happened when KD went down the first time this in the playoffs.
They
stepped up and shocked the Rockets, man. I was not expecting that, and I totally hope. If we can get a game 7 out of this, I'll throw my hands up to the basketball guys and say you gave us a good run, man. If we could pull this game out tomorrow.
Yes.
But with that being said, one thing that's irritating me the most about all this stuff all year, they say you just said that that we expected the Warriors to get here somehow.
Right.
The thing was, that's a lot of prognostication, man. People just assuming. Assuming this and assuming that, not even counting the fact that our depth was terrible at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, thanks, Reggie. Appreciate the call. No, you're right. All I'm saying is when the Warriors embarked on this three-peat, it would have been hard to imagine them winning this title and it being any more dramatic or any more impressive or any more exciting than it's going to have to be. If the Warriors, like, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 days, but I'm telling you right now, if the Warriors win it, something incredible will have happened tomorrow night and Sunday in Toronto. Bottom line, it will be something pretty impressive in terms of basketball history. So there's going to be more elation than I think anybody imagined. Again, if the Warriors can come back and win this, can they? I think they can. Would I bet against them right now? I'd probably have to. Once the series got to 3-1 is when I said, well, if I have to make a bet now, I'd have to bet the Raptors. I still would bet the Raptors now. But at 2-1, I was still picking the Warriors. It's just the math. I don't like the math now. And the fact that only one team's ever come back from 3-1, which happened to be the Cavaliers. But think about that. I mean, that's the other thing. You think about all the kind of the symmetry. The Warriors would come back from a 3-1 deficit to become the second team in history to do that, and they were the team that it was done to. It would be closure in a very nice way.
And it would be the one thing that the Warriors haven't done. And I know they came back 3-1 Oklahoma City. Again, this is different.
Right.
You come back in the finals and win two on the road of the final three, Game 5 and Game 7, that's different. And I know Steve Kerr preaches, hey, we've seen it all. This is one you haven't quite seen yet, Steve.
Right.
Especially now considering the circumstances by which they would have to do it with Durant coming back and then being re-injured and not having him in the final two games.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating. You excited to get out to Oracle tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you are. I hate goodbyes. I can't stand them.
Yeah, so you just walk out.
I just walked out of the arena after game four. I didn't want to say goodbye to Darlene and the ushers. I'll see you Thursday. But wasn't sure I'd see them.
I am really happy that everybody's going to know that it's
That's the last game.
That was actually something that I thought was kind of a bummer with the way that Game 3 and Game 4 played out, because I really didn't think there was any chance the Warriors were going to lose both games. Although, Game 3, I thought they were absolutely going to lose Game 3 because they were so shorthanded. I thought they'd bounce back and win Game 4, and it would be 2-2, and we would all know then there's going to be another game. But I did think it was kind of unfortunate that we didn't know. And now Oracle can at least get a proper goodbye in
exactly.
terms of everybody knowing and going all in that Thursday's the night.
Exactly. All right. Hey, you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Golden State Warriors play in Game 6? Stick around. I'll tell you how to get those tickets. And it'll be sponsored by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Steiny and Kuru on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz and John Dickinson. John Dickinson today filling in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Guru, hopefully in the process of getting his car fixed and headed up to Sacramento.
Oh, man.
Sacramento for his daughter's graduation.
By the way,
I'll tell you what, I'll put Guru in the front of the line if he calls in on his way to Sac. I'll put him at the top of the list like I do Robin.
Did you see the video update, though?
No, I didn't. Oh, no.
Of the caddy getting put on a tow truck.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Not good. Doesn't look good for the caddy.
Oh, no. Well.
Just, you know.
We're thinking of you, Guru.
Looked like it had to be towed.
Oh. Matt Steinmetz, Sean Dickinson with you. I know I just said that. Golden State Warriors playing a Game 6 tomorrow at Oracle Arena. Last game the Warriors are going to play in Oracle. They win this. They can push it to a Game 7 on Father's Day. Coming off a big, big win. And I'm watching Guru's car get towed on JD's iPhone. Let's go to Julian in San Jose. Hey, Julian, how you doing? Hang in there, Goo.
Hey, what's up? What's up, guys? Good to talk to you, man. Love it when you two are doing shows together.
Thank you.
So I'm a huge, longtime Warriors fan. I believe we're playing with house money now. Like what they've done, with the cards that they've been dealt is nothing short of amazing. You compare what you talk about, what it would feel like if they won. I would compare it to how things felt out after the Rockets game 6, where they come back and win it without Durant, and there was just joy. But since you two are there, and JD, since you work close to the team, the cracks that we see on the roster make me raise what I believe to be fair, larger questions about how people look at front offices in general, particularly with respect to attrition. And by that, I mean, when Bob Myers was ascended to the lead role, it was 2012, I think, right before the 2012 draft, and since then, the core of the team was really in place at that time. And since then, they've had to kind of fill out the roster. And so my question is, you know, now that we've seen, you know, Travis Schlenk, Jerry West, Larry Riley leave, I wonder, looking back, how much of the assembly of the roster was those guys versus like Bob Myers? And, what JD, if you could talk to this, like when the whole debate was there about Clay and Kevin Love trade, you know, Jerry West was supposedly not in favor of the trade. Who was on the other side of that, right? And then you look forward through the years of the Iguodala moves, and, you know, I really want to know, I think the GM of the Year awards should be something you look at over the course of 5 years. And I think that the fact that Bob Myers' name was the first one to come up when Magic just left last month and people
right.
were just like, oh, we should replace him. Like, to me, that was a little premature, and I'm not disparaging of Bob Myers at all. I think
all right.
he seems to be a guy that gets it. Everybody loves
gotcha.
Him. What are you guys' thoughts about
Thanks. I got you.
Well,
we got you.
Let me jump in. I'll kick it back to you on this because I think you remember the details more than I do of who was on what side as far as that Love,
right,
Klay Thompson potential trade. Look, I think Bob Myers deserves a lot of credit for how this roster has been assembled. And yes, Jerry West was highly involved. I also think when you're picking where the Warriors are picking, it takes time to develop those players. It's like, look at Kevon Looney.
Right.
People thought going into last season, the 2017-18 season, that Kevon Looney was a bust because he had injury issues and couldn't get on the floor. And now he's one of the most useful players. You know, Jordan Bell, he started out looking like he was going to be a guy that could maybe be a starter for this team with the other four all-star players, with Durant and Draymond and Klay and Curry. And that clearly hasn't worked out to this point, but he's still a young player. So, when you're picking late first round or you're buying picks early second round, it's tough to come up with guys that are guaranteed contributors right off the bat. But I'll let you speak to the other aspect.
Well, and also, if you look at the Spurs, DeJounte Murray, I mean, he got hurt last year, but he kind of hung around and now he's considered to be emerging.
Yeah, Derek White.
Is another one. Bryn Forbes is another one. This is something like the Spurs have a guy right now. Do you know who they drafted last year with their top pick?
I don't recall.
A guy named Lonnie Walker. All right.
Oh,
so
yeah, okay.
The kid from Miami.
Yeah.
So he's there somewhere. Now, he's not a bust yet. He's just learning the Spurs system.
And in 3 years, he might be a good player.
Exactly. Exactly. But you're right. Yeah. Derek White's another one. It does take time. Here's the other thing. And I remember talking to Chris Mullen about this, and I just said to him, man, the Warriors, they need players for next year. You know, they don't have a lot of money. And he was like, yeah, you're right. But you know what? That's what happens. You had to do what they did. There's no GM in the league. There's no fan in the league. There's nobody that wouldn't have done what the Warriors did, which is going out and getting Kevin Durant. When you go out and get Kevin Durant, and you're already sitting with Steph, Klay, and Draymond Green, you're making a deal with the devil that you're not going to be a deep team. And it should never be a surprise when you're not. But now it's time. It may be time to regroup. It may not. If Kevin Durant resigns, you know what? I got news for you. The bench ain't going to be very good next year either. And you know what? Even if Durant leaves, it might not be that good because you don't have a lot of flexibility with the salary cap.
Yeah, and look, you take flyers on players, too, and you try and, you know, maybe fill some of this. You know, maybe Quinn Cook and Alphonso McKinney become more consistently useful roster slots. You know, maybe those spots. You know, maybe you don't have as many different types of bigs as the Warriors have had, and you use a spot for another wing player. I mean, it's so funny. We had this debate about center versus wing, and I just, you know, all year long I said they need another wing. They need another wing. They need another wing, and they wound up going and getting Bogut, and it actually proved to be the right call when Cousins got hurt again in the playoffs. The reality is they needed both.
Yeah.
But now they need another wing player because they love to go small. They can't go small because they don't have enough wing players that are quality enough to play Draymond Green at center when they don't have Kevin Durant.
It's a great point.
You can put Iguodala out there, you can put Klay out there, you can put Curry out there with Draymond Green at center, but who's the fifth? And there isn't a wing that can be that fifth, so it has to be Looney. And oh, by the way, Looney is now obviously significantly banged up.
Exactly. Let's go to David in South City. Hi, David.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Basically, there's only one way to win Game 6. Let's look at the lineup that was successful in Game 5. The first lineup was with Durant, so we can't use that anymore. The second lineup is with Cousins, where he scored a lot of points, and I don't know if that's okay. The third lineup was with Looney in the third quarter, wherein they had 12 points, ahead by 12 points. But I don't know if Looney's hurt. The last lineup that would work, I think, was with Quinn Cook, with three guards playing all at the same time, and they scored 9 points to win that game. So I think Steve Kerr should look at those lineups and see which one would work for him on Game 6.
Thanks for the call. Quinn Cook played 12 minutes. I mean, Here's the problem with Quinn Cook. If you play Quinn Cook and Curry together, the backcourt defense just got really bad. It goes from above average to below average in a hurry.
Would you rather play Quinn Cook or would you and play three guards with Clay and Curry, or would you rather play Alphonso McKinney? Because these are the choices. Like, when you really start to get down to, all right, Durant's out, and the Warriors have to find a way to win tomorrow night, and he's right, Cousins is going to have to play now, again. But I keep going back to, you saw how, all right, he was great in game two. Everybody's thinking, all right, game three, game four, and then he was terrible in those two games. But
that's a good question. My first answer would be
Cook.
It would be McKinney. Well, and the reason why would be because, to me, McKinney's a safer player. I mean, maybe this is my life, the way I look at life, but it's like, I'm thinking, okay, if McKinney stinks, he's going to stink less than Quinn Cook.
Yeah, and I'm actually not sure that's the case, because I would almost put Quinn Cook out there, and you know what? Let's see if Quinn Cook can make a couple of threes. And he didn't in game, what was it, three?
Yeah, what if he doesn't?
Then you're in trouble.
But don't you agree that he has the potential to play worse than McKinney?
I actually think
if either
one of them play bad, the Warriors are in trouble. Like, you just have to kind of, again, this goes back to, like, all this conversation about adjustments. At some point, you just got to roll it out and say, here we go. Like, it's kind of like baseball. You're down to your last reliever. You know, you're in a tie game. You're in the 13th inning. And you've already used all your top relievers. And you're down to that one guy in the pen that you really don't want to use, but he's the last man standing, and you just got to put him out there and say, you're going three innings, or you're going until the end of the game, because you don't have a choice. And then you got to hope he comes through. I mean, that's where they're at with Cousins. That's where Steve Kerr was at with Cousins in game five. Well,
right.
I got to play, and if we lose, we lose. And then he was really good.
925 says, if you need defense down the stretch, McKinney, offense, Cook.
Yeah, McKinney's not a great defensive player.
Not on the perimeter.
He's a good rebounder.
He's got nose for the ball.
And he's a decent finisher around the basket, as you alluded to early in the season. And he might knock down a three, but he might not.
And then he'll make one out of three threes. I mean, count on it. Randy, Morgan Hill. He's got strategy for tomorrow. What do you got, Randy?
Absolutely. Hey, guys. Yeah, I was there Monday night at the Coliseum. That was really wild. But here's what I think Kerr needs to do. We've got to focus more on defense than offense. They're killing us in the paint. So we've got to go with three bigs. So we got Curry and Thompson, obviously. I would start Bogut, play him about 5 minutes. You sub Cousins about seven. So there's your 12. But you're going with Green. But you've got to, if Looney's available, you start Looney, play him about 5 minutes. Then I would bring Bell in for about three. And then either you would have, because Looney's probably not going to be able to play a lot, and either go with Jones or Jerebko. But you've got to deal with the situation in the paint. I don't see how they can win otherwise.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Randy. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Jordan Bell, I think, has been the Warriors' worst player in the finals. I think.
Jerebko hasn't been great.
But Bell's played more.
True.
So there's been a bigger sample size for Bell. Who do you start? How do you play it? I'm not sure. He started small in game five, but again, you had Durant. So now do you start Cousins in game six? You're almost back to where you were game three, game four. I think you have to. You just have to go with the best name player, right?
Well, and I also think you got to go, listen.
And he played well in game five, so you're going to give him a shot. Kind of like he played well in game two,
exactly.
So you give him a shot in three.
No doubt. I think the one thing the Warriors have to be prepared for is I think this is going to be the game where they're going to see some stuff they haven't seen from Toronto. Because with Durant back last game, it kind of put it on hold. I mean, they are going to – this is, to me, the game where they're going to just try to smother Steph Curry.
And that game – the game five was just – it was like a scramble drill. The whole – like, the Raptors were preparing for Durant to come back. And
right.
Then Durant comes back. And the Warriors are playing great, and they're knocking down threes. Well, when Durant goes out – that flips everything. You know, that flips everything in terms of what the Raptors were thinking.
Right.
Now the Raptors are going back to, okay, we know Durant's not there. So, yeah, it becomes take away Curry. It becomes try and just eviscerate DeMarcus Cousins by going at him
right.
like they did in Game 3 and Game 4. Just make, you know, make him unplayable. Well, guess what? Steve Kerr doesn't really have the option of not playing him. It just and this is what we come back to when you say, well, who's the better team, you know, going into this thing? And again, it's not that the Warriors can't win two games, because we both think they can win two games, but the Raptors have been the better team when it's been mano a mano, no Durant.
Yeah. So far, that's been the case. The Warriors are going to have to reverse that. Fred in Richmond. Fred's going to agree with you on the choice between Quinn Cook and McKinney being Quinn Cook.
I
guarantee
Cook.
You.
Hello.
Hey, Fred, how are you, man?
Hey, how y'all doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
The strategy for the Warriors is heart and just win for KD, win for themselves, win for the pride of the Warriors, win for all the naysayers who've been hating on the Warriors basically for the whole five-year run. You just go out there and play, lay it out on the hardwood, and do what you've been doing basically the whole season. They underestimate the Warriors. Everybody basically was picking them to win the finals, so why go away from it now? We know KD is not coming through that door tomorrow or on Sunday. So just go out there, give it your all, and I firmly believe that for Father's Day, everybody in the Bay is going to have a hell of a Father's Day, and we're going to party like the Oracle when they first
2015. Thanks a lot, Fred. Appreciate it. Fred was J.D. Fred called before the finals and talked about that he thought Quinn Cook could play in this series. And at first I was like, and then I was like, maybe.
And again.
And he was close to right. Not to right.
Not to give you the wishy-washy answer, but he looked like he could play in this series a little bit in Game 5. He looked like he could play a little bit in this series in Game 2. He looked like he can't play in this series at all in Game 3 or Game 4. And that's the position the Warriors are in. It's just so much uncertainty, even if you make 23-pointers. Think about that. The Warriors made 23-pointers and won by one freaking point with Kevin Durant playing 12 great minutes.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, that's where we're at in this thing. You know, DeMarcus Cousins has played well in two games out of five.
And they've won them both.
Right. So he, you know, you start to look at, well, what has to happen? Well, what has to happen is players that haven't been consistent are going to have to find it two more times.
That's true, yeah.
And Curry and Clay and Draymond are going to all have to play well, too. That's the that's a given. That's, as I like to say, price of admission.
Right.
Those three have to play well, and three or four other guys are going to have to play well and score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.